here this morning, I just thought about it, and I was just really praying. As a speaker, you always want to make sure that you don't bring something that you think God wants to say, but you always want to make sure it's what God really wants to say, right? And here this morning, as I come here this morning, I just, every single year, right before we're about to launch into the new year, one thing that I personally do is I go into the new year asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want from my life? How many of you know that sometimes we go into the new year saying, Lord, this is what I want. I want this and I want that. I want this to change. I want this to be like this. I want this to look like this. And I want all this to be like this, right? But there's a shift in your life that happens when you say, you know what, Lord? It's no longer about what I want, Lord, but it's about what you want. And what a great privilege just to be here this morning as our last Sunday of 2019 as we're about to step into 2020. I remember almost 20 years ago, how many of you remember Y2K? Everybody was all afraid, freaking out about the lights, right? My wife told me the story about her uncle. They're having New Year's Day at their house. He goes into the breaker and just turns off all the breakers. Everybody's freaking out. It's like, it's true. It actually happened. All the lights went out, right? They were saying cars weren't going to work and so forth. We look back and laugh. But I remember like almost every preacher's Sunday morning service before that New Year's was like, you know, the Lord is coming, right? You remember that? And he really is coming and he is patient with us. Amen. And he is coming and we await his arrival. But until he is here to come, there's something that has to happen in our life as well. And that is to establish his kingdom upon this earth. Amen. We are carriers of the presence of God. Now with the new year, there's new hope. There's new dreams. There's new vision. There's new perspective. And for many of us, we have what is called a New Year's resolution, right? According to a survey that was done in 2019, they listed the top 10 resolutions for this year. Number one was to diet or eat healthier. Amen. How many of you know after that November Thanksgiving turkey, right? You gained a couple of pounds, right? Don't look up here, right? Number two was exercise more. How many of you know that in the month of January, the gym has the most memberships, right? Number three, the same thing, lose weight. Wow. Number four was save more and spend less. Number five was to learn a new skill or hobby. Number six, they quit smoking. Number seven was read more. Number eight was find another job. Number nine was drink less alcohol. And number 10 was spend more time with family and friends. So we see there that New Year's resolutions always strive to improve things in our life or in areas that we need help with. But rarely do we hear someone say that their New Year's resolution is, I want to love Jesus more. Right? Rarely do we hear someone's New Year's resolution say, I want to grow in his word more. Rarely do we hear people's New Year's resolution say, I want to grow in my prayer life with the Lord. As I prepare this morning to share, I want to reflect and just share what God put in my heart, what he wants from us as a people for 2020. Now, I'm not saying that losing weight is not important. I'm not saying that letting go of things that may hinder our faith are not important. I'm not saying that earning or saving more money is not important. Trying to get a new career or a new job is not important. Having a new hobby or spending time with family and friends is not important. But I do want to share with you here this morning what is the most important thing. If you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through verse 42. If you don't have your Bibles here this morning, they will be up on the screen. Say amen when you have it, for those of you who have your Bibles. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And the word of the Lord says like this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted. Can you tell your neighbor, Mary was this, Martha was distracted? Can you say Martha was distracted? By all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Can you tell your neighbor, only one thing is needed? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Can you join me in prayer this morning, church? Father, we just thank you here this morning. We know that you are present. We know that you are here. We pray, God, as you taught us to pray, Lord, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that your kingdom would come into this place. We pray, Lord God, that you would refill us, restore us, that you would do something new in our hearts, God. And we pray, God, that as you are showing us, God, what it is that you want for 2020, I pray for passion, for hunger, and for thirst for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love this story of Mary and Martha because it sort of shows a little bit the story of my life. If you don't know my life, I grew up going to church. My grandparents were church planters, and we were always taught about you have to go to church, right? That was the one main thing. It was always go to church. If you realize and you speak to people about Jesus, the one thing they tell you is, yeah, I go to church on Sundays, right? And this story is actually showing us what it really means to be with Jesus, what it really means to have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples were on a way to a village called Bethany. It's about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it says that a woman named Martha opens up her door to him. I'm pretty sure that this woman must have heard of who Jesus really was. And she must have heard the stories of what he was doing. She must have heard the testimonies of the people around him. Hey, he is healing people. He is providing. He is doing all miraculous things. And Martha must have thought to herself, I need this Jesus to come into my home. I don't know about you, church, but I want Jesus to be in my home for 2020, right? I can picture Martha seeing that the one that they have been talking about, the one that she has to, the honor to be able to host him, she goes ahead and she allows him into her home. Church, here this morning, I want to share with you, Jesus will not force his way into your home. Jesus can pass by, and unless you say, Lord, come, he won't come. Martha was doing what was custom during that time. You see, hosting was a big deal. You wanted to make sure that everything was on point. Think about it. It's the Son of God. You want to make sure everything is clean, right? You want to make sure you give him the best kind of service. You want to have the best kind of plates, right? You want to have the best bread. You want to give him the best chair of the house. Think about it. You're treating a king in your own home. It's equivalent to having, for those of you who love sports, LeBron James come into your house, right? Hey, you hungry? Get some Chick-fil-A, right? I got to lose some weight. All right. So we see the first mention of Mary and Martha, and we read on other accounts that we can put by together that this Mary, they were related to Lazarus as well, the man whom Jesus raises from the dead, as we read later on. And a quick brief story about this family is that Lazarus and his sisters, they tell Jesus that if you would have been here from that story, when Lazarus is dying, he tells them, the one whom you love is ill, he is sick. And the sisters are trying to tell Jesus to come into their home because they knew that Jesus had the power to heal, right? And I felt for some of you this morning that, to share with you that God's delay is not God's denial. You see, some things you hoped for and prayed for in 2019, you did not see, but that does not mean that it will not happen. You see, Jesus took his time as he told the disciples, it is so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Tell your neighbor and say, my trial and my tribulation is so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Because the God that took you through it will go ahead and pull you out of it. Amen? Come on. So we see here that there's moments in our lives where we know that only God can do the work. It is only God that can do the miracle. And it is there where he receives the glory. And we see that he shows up with Mary and Martha and tells Jesus, if you were here, this would have never happened. You see, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus, he took his time. He says, this is so the Son of God may be glorified. I don't know who I'm encouraging here this morning. God's delay does not mean God's denial. So we see that this family was close to Jesus. But as we read in Luke's account, chapter 10, it is the first time we hear about Mary and Martha. We don't read about Lazarus yet till later on. But I love what the Bible is showing us here as it shows us Mary. It shows us that she goes and she sits at the feet of Jesus, just listening to what he said. But Martha, the Bible says, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. How many of us are Martha's here this morning with Christmas season, Thanksgiving, New Year's, right? All these things, all these preparations, all these things that we're going around. You got Facebook, right? You got all these things that are going around. You got your career. You got your job. You got your kids. You have all these things you have to prepare, right? Women here this morning, you are regarded in high esteem. You got to get up in the morning. You have to dress your kids. You have to have dinner. When you come back from work, you have to put them to bed. Come on, church, for all the moms here this morning, can we give them praise this morning? Amen. Was Martha wrong for serving and preparing? No. She was doing what she had to do. She was serving. But you see here, church, this is the key to the story. When we become distracted, we lose focus of what really matters. Not only was Martha distracted, but she was also anxious. She was filled with worry. She was angry. You know, what's interesting about this story is that Martha doesn't go to Mary and says, Mary, you got to help me. She goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, aren't you, you know, tell her to help me. Have you ever noticed that when you compare yourself to other people, come on, you're always going to be filled with anger? Oh, well, that family goes on vacation, right? You can look at Facebook. Oh, my gosh, you start comparing yourself. Oh, look at that. They got this. Oh, you got that. Comparison. Don't compare yourself to no one. God has your own blessings for your own life. Church, we see the distinction between Martha and Mary. Martha was serving, but Mary was in fellowship with Jesus. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. That it's not just about doing, but it's about actually being. Come on, church. Martha wants Jesus to rebuke her sister, but Jesus says, she has chosen what is better. The story is not about doing chores or not fulfilling your duty. It's about what matters most. We see in the story that serving is not a bad thing, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is having fellowship and intimacy with Jesus. Jesus answers Martha and he calls her name two times. He says, Martha, Martha, you're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. What if I could encourage you, church? The things that you've been running after, the things that you've been wanting, when you put him first in your life. The Bible tells us this, church, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be added unto you. We can be like Martha, anxious, worried, right? Oh my gosh, how are we going to get this done? How is that going to get paid? How is this going to happen? Or you can have a spirit like Mary. And you come into the feet of Jesus. I don't know how, God, but you will. Amen. God, I don't see it, but I believe it. Right? Amen. You see the difference? Yes. Jesus goes on to say, Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. Amen. So what is better than service? We see that Mary at the feet of Jesus, that is where he wants his church. Yes. At his feet. Yes. And what happens at the feet of Jesus? May 2020 be a year where our intimacy with Jesus becomes the most important thing in our life. Absolutely. Mary made the choice of being at Jesus' feet. Her desire was to be with him. But what occurs when we come into the feet of Jesus? The first thing that happens when we're in the feet of Jesus is this. We worship God. Yeah. You know that the word worship means to bow down? Hallelujah. It means to give honor. It means to show reverence, to give adoration. Worship is not about the place, but it's actually about the heart. Jesus, when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he tells her, those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, our worship of God is directed by our love for Him. As we love, so we worship. I love that story of the woman at the well, because he goes on and tells her, he says, you worship what you do not know. Church worship is also about attention. We see Martha, she's going, she's in the house. Jesus is there and she's focused about all these other things. You see, when we give our attention to Jesus, and now it's our worship is directed because of our love for Him. Mary's love for Jesus led her to her knees, and she bowed down because she recognized that He was worthy. Church, when you recognize His worth. This is the same Mary, and later on we read in the biblical account, this is the same Mary that anoints Jesus' feet. The Bible says, gives us a story, and it shows us, we see Mary at the feet of Jesus actually three times. And the third time was actually right before Jesus was going to get crucified. The Bible says 6 days before Passover. The Bible says that Mary goes into the feet of Jesus. She had an alabaster jar of perfume. And it tells us, scholars say that this jar actually costs a whole year's wages. Imagine your annual salary just pouring it out onto the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that this woman, Mary, she goes and she pours out this perfume. And the Bible says that the house was filled with the scent of the perfume. Everybody was looking around. One of the disciples said, Jesus, you could have sold that. We could have made money out of it. And we could have given it to the poor. I'm here to encourage some people here this morning. 2019, you were in the intimate place. You were in the private place. I'm here to tell you, nothing has been wasted. Amen. Nothing has been wasted. Mary just wanted to know more about Jesus. As she sat at His feet, her heart was displayed as a heart of worship. You see, church, the more you know Him, the more you want to worship Him. That's why He was telling the Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know. The more I know Him, the more I love Him, the more I love Him, the more I just worship Him. Worship is the acknowledgement of worth. He's worthy. He's worthy. Second thing, church, that happens when we come into His feet, we come into the presence of God. At the feet of Jesus, when we come into His presence, it means that God is present. In other words, He is here. The word for presence in the Hebrew, it means face. It means having a close encounter with God. We read that Moses spoke with God face to face, meaning he had an intimate relationship with God. As a man speaks to his friend, he had access to God. Can I share something with you at church here this morning? Because of Jesus, what He did at the cross, the Bible says that the veil has been torn. Now He has given us access into the presence of God. Now we don't need rituals. We don't need customs. All we need is just for us to bow down at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Just like Pastor David was sharing, that if we draw near to God, He draws near to us. Now we can approach God, like the Bible says, at the throne room of grace with confidence. You see, in His presence, there is no fear. In His presence, there is no condemnation. In His presence, there is no worry. In His presence, there is no anxiety. In His presence, there is no depression. In His presence, there is no anger. In His presence, there is no shame. In His presence, there is no doubt. You see, when you come into the presence of Jesus, all things are made new. Have you noticed, church, have there been moments in your life when you come into the presence of God and your perspective changes just like that? How many of you had times, you've had rough times in your life? I don't know if I'm the only one up here, but when you have rough times in your life and you come into the presence of God, it's like something just switches on. You come into the presence of God, you're feeling doubt. All of a sudden, you have faith. All of a sudden, you come into the presence of God, you're feeling down. The Bible says, and He's going to go ahead and He lifts you up, right? When you're in the presence of God, you can come in weak, and He goes ahead and He gives you strength, right? You see, in the presence of God, that's where He wants you. That's where He wants you. In the presence. You see, in the presence of God, we are refreshed, we're encouraged, we're strengthened. In His presence, we're filled with His Spirit and faith. In His presence, like the Bible says, there is freedom. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, we may come burdened into His presence, but when we come into His presence, we come out free. Has there been times, church, where you've had times where you feel like you're carrying a burden, and when you come into the presence of God, you feel like a weight has been lifted off of you, right? Because when we come into His presence, He just sets us free. The Bible tells us that in this presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You see, Mary desired to be in the presence of Jesus while Martha was worried, anxious, and bothered. Another thing that happens, church, when we're at His feet, which I love, we hear His voice. When you're at the feet of Jesus, you hear His voice. The Bible tells us that Mary seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening. Can you tell your neighbor and say she was listening? She was listening to what He said. Church, God is still speaking today. The question has to be, are we taking time to listen? Are there decisions that need to be made for you and your family in 2020? What does God say? Are there choices that need to be made for you in 2020? What does God say? You see, hearing what He says will save us from heartache and allow us to follow His will. I don't want to know or think what is best. I want to know what God says is best. Right, church? Come on. When we take quiet time and we just read His word, He speaks. Has that happened to you, church? You're going through a certain situation. You're going through a certain thing. You open up the scriptures and all of a sudden it's like God is speaking out to me. Mary wanted to hear what Jesus was speaking. Most of the biggest decision in my life personally, I always knew it was, what, Lord, what do you say? I want to know and I want to hear your voice. Jesus, when speaking to the people, He says, my sheep hear my voice. One of the greatest things about being a Christian is I have communion and relationship with God. Our God is not like an idol that cannot speak, cannot hear, or cannot see. I mean, to encourage you, church, that He does speak and He will speak as the Bible says that if you seek Him, you will find Him. Come on, somebody. It's still in the stillness. You see, it's in the stillness that He speaks, not in the busyness, when we tune our spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. I'm going to share a story with you, church. I remember we were about to buy our house, and we had about a week left in our lease. A year prior, I felt in my heart that the Lord has said, around this time next year, you're going to have your house. I went ahead and I said, all right, Lord, I'm not going to renew this contract because I'm going to go based on what You said. Well, guess what? There was about a week left for my lease to end, and I had nowhere to live. I remember that it was a Thursday morning. I had to be out of my house by the next Wednesday. I'll never forget it. I remember I go to work, and I go early. I don't know why I was early, because I'm usually right on time or 5 minutes early, right? And right when I get there, church, I'm there about maybe 20 minutes, and I, all of a sudden I say, you know what? I'm going to open up my Bible. When I open up my Bible, church, I open it up, and it's Proverbs 19:14. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents. For some of you, if you don't know my story, I come, from a poor family. I'm from Central America, Nicaragua. I said, Lord, unfortunately, this verse doesn't apply to my life. What are my parents? I mean, my mom, she was a single mom. She struggled. She hustled. She did what she had to do to provide for me and my sister. And she provided us a room. And man, she did all that she could. But I said, Lord, what can I inherit? And right at that moment, church, I heard the voice of the Lord. And He says, but I am your father. And what I have, I give to you. And whatever I place in your hand is because I've given it to you. You see, church, when you come into the feet of Jesus, regardless of your circumstance, there's something that happens where what God says is greater than what you may be going through. You see, church, when we come into the feet of Jesus, you say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to turn down what the world is saying, and I want to tune into what heaven is saying. Right, church? You see, when what God says something, when he's about to do something, he goes ahead and he reveals it to you right before he's about to do it. That's why it's the importance of being at the feet of Jesus, because he reveals to you his secrets. Church, after that Thursday, we got our house that Monday, because God spoke it right before I went into it. At his feet, church. Oh, this is so important. You hear his voice. Oh, hearing the voice of God is so great. It's one of the greatest gifts he has given us as believers. I remember growing in the church, I thought only the pastors heard the voice of the Lord. When I first heard the voice of Jesus, I was freaking out. I was like, Lord, I'm not even a pastor. I'm not even a leader of the church. What am I going to do? Because I learned from early on the importance of intimacy with Jesus. God wants to speak to us, but are we willing to listen? Church, at his feet, we grow and we become fruitful. The more we are at Jesus' feet, the more we grow spiritually and become fruitful. Have you noticed that the fruit of the Spirit has to relate to our character? Have you noticed that, church? And when you read about the fruits of the Spirit, the key to the Christian life is staying connected to the vine. The more I have of him, the less of me comes out. Come on, somebody. Jesus says, abide in me, which means to dwell, to remain. And we must remain, church. The branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. The more I spend time at his feet, the more I begin to reflect him. Amen. Have you noticed that the more you spend time with someone, you begin to act like them, you begin to talk like them, you begin to laugh at their jokes? Come on, somebody. The more I spend time with him, the more I become like him. I'm going to share with you a funny story. Don't judge me. But there's moments in my life where my wife tells me, you need to go and spend some time with the Lord. It's a little, you're getting a little bit angry right now. You know what I mean? You see, because the more time you spend with him, you begin to reflect him. All of a sudden, I become more patient, right? What bothered me a few minutes ago, you go into the presence of God, it won't even bother you anymore. What angered you really quickly before, when you come into the presence of God, all of a sudden it's like, the more I spend time with him, the more I reflect him. Church, this is really important. Capture this. The Bible says that when Moses would go up to the mountain and meet with God, when he came down, he was a reflection of the light. The Bible says that the people down low couldn't even see him. Because he was a reflection of what he had encountered in that place. At his feet, I become more like him. How many of you know that before Jesus, we were all messed up, right? But now with Jesus, all of a sudden, you begin to forgive people. You know, when I knew Jesus was changing my life, I loved to play football. And when I used to hit people, I made sure they felt it, right? I'm not going to hit you just to hit you, and then we're going to go on to the next play. No, I wanted to make sure I want to take you out of the game. But I noticed as I began to meditate, to dwell in, to have a personal relationship with God, all of a sudden, I would hit somebody, I'll say, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, bro. I know you felt it, but I'm sorry. You begin to reflect him. You begin to be like him. Before we can walk in the Spirit, church, we need to start at the feet of Jesus. The fruits of the Spirit, the Bible says, are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Mary wanted to be at the feet of Jesus because she knew that it is a place that she can say what he does and do what he does. That is what it means to be at the feet of Jesus. The last thing, church, at his feet, it connects us to heaven and it disconnects us from the world. I'm going to ask Matt if you can play the piano really softly here. Church, we live in a time that everyone is busy, right? How many of you can say amen? Amen. Everyone is busy. Church, I have a career, I have a family, I have a side business. Everyone is busy. I have to make time for my wife, I have to make time for my kids. I have to make time for God. I have my hobbies. But when I come at His feet, I disconnect myself from the world. And I connect myself to heaven. Martha was upset. She was anxious. She was worried. Not because of what she was doing, but because she was in the wrong place. It's at the feet of Jesus, church. Jesus, speaking to Martha, tells her the one thing that is necessary. In other words, Mary has made the right choice. 2020. I want to make the right choice. Lord, I don't want to live my life in worry and anxiety and anger. I want to go where You are. I want to hear what You say. But how can we live like Mary in a Martha-like world? You see, for many of us, like Martha, doing comes naturally than being, which means that spending time with the Lord may not come as easily as spending that time with Him. But I love what Jesus says. He says, Mary has chosen. Church, the choice is yours. You will be as close as Jesus as you want to be. We got to make spending time with Jesus a priority. From some of you, you're like me. Hey, I'm not a morning person. I do it at night when my girls are sleeping, when my wife is sleeping. You can do it in your car when you're driving. When you're driving, you're worshiping Jesus. You're saying, thank You, Lord. But make sure you're doing it with your eyes open, please. Take moments. I've watched my wife, and she does an awesome job. She's a stay-home mom, and she hustles. But she takes moments. She puts worship on. And those moments lead to encounters. And it keeps you coming back for more, right? Yes. Have you encountered Jesus at His feet? And you're like, man, I can't wait to be here tomorrow, right? Come on. When you come into the feet of Jesus, there's a desire to know Him. Lord, that's what helped me on early on in my life. I just want to know Him. And when you have a desire to know Him, He'll reveal Himself to you. But he'll keep you coming back for more. Choose nearness. Choose nearness. Let's bow ahead and close our eyes here this morning, church. As I was praying last night, I could just hear the Lord say, I'm going to refill wells here this morning. There's some of us here this morning. You came into this place. You're feeling empty. You're feeling empty, not because of anything bad that you've done, but it's because we live in the world that there's many distractions, many things that come in the way. The Lord's saying, I want to bring you back to Me. Church, for 2020, I want to be at the feet of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you came into this place, and you know that you're not as near to Him as you once were. We call it the first love. When you got up in the morning, well, the first thing you thought about was Jesus. When you went to sleep, the last person you spoke to was Jesus. If this morning you want to say, Lord, I need You to fill me again. I need You to fill me with passion again. I want to be thirsty. I want to be hungry for You, God. In 2020, I want to live a life at Your feet. If that is you here this morning, as Matt plays the piano, I want you to come here to the front. As you're saying, Lord, I want to come to Your feet. I want to be like Mary. I want to choose what is best. I want to choose what is best, Lord. I want to live my life for You. I want to give You my worship. I want to hear Your voice. I want to grow in intimacy with You, Jesus. Come on, church, let's open up our hearts to Him here this morning. saying, Lord, we need you. We need you once again, God. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit once again, God. Renew passion. I want to be hungry and thirsty for your things, God. Forgive us, Lord. For we have forgotten what really matters. Come on, church. I want to have you just take a moment. Just you and the Lord right now. Just pour it all out before him here this morning.
If you're going to be really honest with yourself, and it, of all places, being in God's presence is the best place to be honest. Because like the old songwriter wrote, he saw, he who knows me best loves me most. He saw my faults, he looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. So we're going to sing this again. I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you want to get closer to Jesus in 2020, very simple but profound question that could change your whole life. Somebody say with me, this could change my whole life. Whether I make the choice to be in the presence of Jesus, to listen, to worship, to hear his voice, to be empowered, to have my life fashioned by the very presence of God, by the image, so I can become more like Jesus, reflect him, be less in the flesh and more in the spirit. Hallelujah. We give it all to you, Jesus. I can't think of a better way to have this last Sunday in 2019 than to just take care of some loose ends. Tie up the loose ends. As the Holy Spirit is focusing his light and his revelation upon what areas that need to be turned over to Jesus. Give him those things that were constantly bothering you, those areas of your life where it seemed like there was no peace. And God is saying, will you let me take the pieces of your life? God is saying, will you give me full control? How much longer do you want to live in frustration? How much longer do you want to live independent of me, God says? When will you fully surrender your life to me? You know who you are. You know the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will have fellowship with that person. But it's your choice, as Brother Harry said so beautifully today. God is a gentleman. He's not going to take away your free will. He's not going to turn you into a zombie or a robot. Somebody say amen. He loves you enough that he gave you a free will because he wants your love for him to be willing love, not forced. Who wants somebody to love them because they're forced to? What kind of love is that? Come on, somebody. What kind of love is that when you have to be forced to love somebody? That's not love. God wants you to love him from his heart. I want Pastor Angel to come to the piano for a second, and we're going to sing a chorus. Some of you may know it, some of you. It is still early. Don't be in a rush. Don't worry about the roast in the oven. Come on now. The ham in the oven. I don't know if you have a ham or a roast.
Come on, let's give him praise in the house this morning, church. Come on, he is worthy. Give him praise here this morning. Everything that has breath, let us praise the Lord. Come on, church. We worship your name, God. We recognize that you are worthy. We know, God, that you are here in this place. I pray over your people here this morning, God. May your light shine upon us, God. We pray, God, as we are about to step into this new year, God, I pray for your people, God, for a hunger, for a passion, for a thirst, God, here this morning. We pray, God, that as you declare, God, that those who would believe in you, God, that rivers of living water, God, would flow from within us, God. We pray here this morning that as you refill us, God, that you would be pouring out from us, God, that you would use us this upcoming year, Lord. We pray here this morning as the Apostle Paul said, Lord, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead, God. We thank you and we know that you are faithful, God. We pray here this morning, God, as you restore first love here this morning. We pray for open ears to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying. We pray here this morning, God. We just want more of you because we recognize that you are what matters most. God, be with us. Meet with us, God. And as we call upon your name, that you may answer, Lord. We pray that you bless every family. We pray for those who are waiting for their answers to be answered, prayers answered. It's not over. Some of you here this morning, some of you came into this place feeling like you wanted to give up. I'm here to encourage you. It's not over. It's not over. Thank you, Lord. Church, if you believe it here this morning, say amen and amen. We dismiss you this morning. Be blessed, church. Be blessed.
We'll see you Tuesday night. Tuesday night, praying in the new year. Amen. Hug somebody.